And this is Points North on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Peter Payette. Everyone pretty much agrees at this point that the salmon fishery in Lake Michigan could be on the brink of collapse. There's not much food out there for salmon, but the fishing is better than ever. That's a bad combination, lots of big fish and not much food. That's just what happened in Lake Huron about a decade ago, right before the whole thing ground to a halt. Since the party ended over there, the port towns along the lake have lost millions of dollars of tourism business. Now a couple sport fishing groups are calling for drastic action in Lake Michigan. They say stop putting salmon into the lake altogether, because that makes the problem worse. That's an option the states and the tribes around the lake have not put on the table. Dennis Eade is with the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. He says the people making the decisions are just not taking into account how many salmon are being born in the wild.
We think that what the DNR in Michigan and what the other state agencies don't realize is that there's a higher level of natural reproduction than what has been estimated. The DNR estimates that over 50% of the Chinook salmon in Lake Michigan are naturally reproduced.
Wild fish.
Wild fish. We think it's much higher than that. And the reason we do is that their statistics don't take into account the number of fish coming from Canada in the natural streams and reproducing in Canada. And salmon are noted for how far they can range in search of food. We think we're getting a lot of natural salmon from Lake Huron, from the streams and rivers in Canada, migrating into Lake Michigan. It is our guess that there's almost 80% natural reproduction present in Lake Michigan at the current time. Now, that's a good thing. But we have to be cognizant of that in order to make sure that we maintain a balance between the forage fish and the predator fish. So we think it would be much wiser to stop planting for 2 years, continue to monitor, continue to evaluate before resuming stocking. It's every fisherman's dream that we wouldn't need to stock, that the environment would allow for natural reproduction of all our rivers and streams. That's the ideal. The salmon have adapted incredibly well to a freshwater environment since they were introduced in 1967 by Wayne Toedy and the DNR. As well as Dr.
Howard Tanner.
Howard Tanner, right, who led the mission to get them established.
Why would it be a good thing if all the fish were wild fish?
Well, there are many qualities to a wild fish that aren't present in hatchery fish. If you've ever caught a 16-pound steelhead on the end of your line and a natural reproduced fish has a fight and an uncanny sense of survival that a hatchery fish just hasn't had the opportunity instinctively to develop. So it's a much more exciting experience to catch a wild fish.
Now, it's my understanding, I spoke with a representative at the state and inquired what they thought about the suggestion your group has made that they just cut the stocking altogether. And his answer was that these other states, Wisconsin in particular, would just not go for this, and that they have, you know, at the level where the various states and the tribes are represented there as well, where they discuss these matters, it's just not politically possible to end stocking. And I guess the reason for this is because most of the wild fish are coming out of rivers in Michigan. And so if we ended all the stocking, then people that can come fish rivers in Michigan where wild fish will come back in the fall
and spawn, then that would be okay for them. But if you're an angler in Wisconsin and you want to fish in a river in the fall, it'd be a different story. So what do you say to that?
Well, it's been a difficult process, but over the course of the last year, having the interstate agencies working on the Lake Michigan Committee with representatives from the advocacy groups present has allowed us to educate anglers from Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana as to the importance of ensuring that the lake doesn't crash. We've had many hours of reviewing the red flag analysis and getting an understanding of exactly the state of the fishery. So I think we have been successful in recruiting advocates from the west side of Lake Michigan to our point of view. You're absolutely correct. The fishers in Wisconsin are very concerned as to where these cuts are going to take place and the amount of the cuts. But we're appealing to their stronger sense of what's right and what's best for the fishery.
And when you say you don't think that some state officials have a good grasp on how many wild fish are out there, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they have a clear picture? There's plenty of information for them, and these things are being discussed. I mean, they're at the same meetings you're at. What do you mean they don't have a good sense of the threat of how many wild fish are out there eating up whatever food is available?
Because up until this year, the number of hatchery fish planted were not universally marked. This year, for the first time, every fish, Chinook salmon, lake trout, steelhead salmon, have their adipose fin clipped. And this has been done through the efforts of the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. But we now will have a much greater understanding of the balance and the percentage of hatchery fish in the lake versus natural wild fish, because you'll be able to see as soon as you catch the fish whether it's a hatchery fish or it's a wild fish. Up until 2012, we've not enjoyed having that opportunity. So it has been guesstimations and not science.
Clearly, if the people over in Lake Huron, the managers, knew what was happening at the time, they would have ended all stocking. They would have stopped putting salmon into that lake. It appears to many that we're in a similar situation on Lake Michigan. And yet there's this reluctance to consider the option you're advocating for, just stopping the planting altogether. I'm having a hard time understanding it. What is your sense of what it would take to really convince people that we ought to just pull out all the stops and do everything that can be done to avoid a collapse over here?
I think the issue is education. I certainly didn't get to my point of view without going through an extensive education program over the last 2 years on exactly how fragile the fishery is in Lake Michigan. It's easy to discount the effect mussels are having. It's easy to discount the lack of prey fish because most of these charter boat captains are seeing what they consider bait balls when they run their fish finding equipment and their sonar on their boats. Well, these are isolated areas that don't reflect what's happening universally under the water. And
So you're saying there's anecdotal evidence that would make you think everything's okay.
Exactly.
Including a lot of alewives on the beaches last summer.
We did have a couple of die-offs that caused people to think that we were had too many. That's not the case.
So how optimistic are you that in the next, 4 months, when a decision has to be made, that a majority of people might come around to the viewpoint you've come around to?
I'm optimistic because for the first time, you're seeing advocacy organizations like the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association stepping up and saying, no, we should stop. You're seeing the Muskegon Charter Boat Association step up with a letter and saying, no, we should stop. It's just too big a risk. We're seeing the commercial fishermen out of Muskegon that fish for whitefish and for some of the other commercial species saying, we're not seeing the abundance of alewife in our nets, and therefore we concur. This is something that we should take action on now before the potential crash.
All right. Well, Dennis, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Peter.
That's Dennis Eade. He's the executive director of the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. You can find them at michigansteelheaders.org.